What does that have to do with why I'm here? Because my guess, by the way, is that a lot of patents that are found invalid under 101 is going to result in a malpractice suit. Why? It's so obvious that this patent should never have been applied for. Why? The Supreme Court for 150 years, according to it, has said that this is the law. And a district judge on 12b-6 said that it was so obvious that it was not eligible subject matter that he threw my patent out. Why did you tell me to spend $100,000 getting it? Why did you tell me to file this lawsuit? It's going to be a big mess, and I don't know how that's eventually going to get itself fixed. What I'm going to focus in on today are starting off with some things I've seen recently in patent prosecution. And the first one I talked briefly about last year, the other ones are sort of new things, and I'm not going to talk a lot about the obvious problems that these things create, but instead focusing in on what I'll call the more subtle issues. And the way, when I say I've seen these things recently, what will happen is folks will call me up and say, David, we have a potential malpractice case. Will you look through the file? And I'll go through the file and I'll look for things. Not the top one. Top one's an oddball. But, you know, I'll look and see, were these people churning the file? I mean, that's what I can argue and what sometimes happens, and we'll talk about signs of that with advancing prosecution. Did they create a problem with disclosure or non-disclosure of information? And then assignment issues. And I'll talk about a couple of things that are perhaps should be on your radar. This influence examiner things, I had not heard of it when I was speaking. It was in the fall or spring, so maybe I didn't mention this last time I was here. I was speaking at the patent office, and several people talked to me about this. And there's these services that are now out there that gather statistics about individual patent examiners.